Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Please be seated. Our Old Testament lesson this morning began, "Wisdom has built her house. She has hewn her seven pillars. She has slaughtered her beasts. She has mixed her wine. She has also set her table. She has sent out her young women to call from the highest places in the town, 'Whoever is simple, let him turn in here.' To him who lacks sense, she says, 'Come, eat of my bread and drink of the wine I have mixed. Leave your simple ways and live, and walk in the way of insight.'" But this, our Old Testament lesson, is just about half of Proverbs chapter 9. There's more in the chapter. And after our lesson concludes, we find another invitation offered by a very different sort of host. It reads, "The woman, folly, is loud. She is seductive and knows nothing. She sits at the door of her house. She takes a seat on the highest places of the town, calling to those who pass by, who are going straight on their way, 'Whoever is simple, let him turn in here.' And to him who lacks sense, she says, 'Stolen water is sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant.' But he does not know that the dead are there, that her guests are in the depths of Sheol." There are two ways, one of life and one of death, but a great difference between the two. The way of life is the way of wisdom. The way of death is the way of folly. But it is not always so easy to discern that great difference between these two. Both call from the highest places of the town to the simple and to those who are lacking sense. Both offer food and drink to those who pass by. But again, he who eats and drinks the feast prepared by wisdom shall live. He who eats and drinks the feast prepared by folly will join the rest of her guests in death, in the depths of Sheol. Who then would ever want to enter the house of folly? There are indeed many. For she is loud and seductive. She promises sweet water and pleasant bread. And we have in Holy Scripture record of many who have entered her house. Yes, even those who had once heard wisdom's invitation and perhaps even followed wisdom for a time. Maybe the first and foremost example that comes to mind is Esau, son of Isaac, brother of Jacob, who possessed the birthright. The right of the firstborn son. That meant that he not only received a double portion of the inheritance, but he also received the kingdom and the priesthood before his brother. And yet in the book of Genesis, we read that Esau was willing to sell that birthright to Jacob for nothing more than a bowl of red stew, because he was exhausted from his time out in the field. What folly indeed, to trade such an important and excellent inheritance for the sake of a bowl of lentils. Now in today's gospel lesson, we hear of others. There were many who had been invited to a great banquet. This feast had apparently been in the works for quite some time, long enough that the master of the house not only had time to send out invitations at the beginning, but also to send his servant to tell the invitees that everything was ready. But Jesus says all alike began to make excuses. Excuses like the purchase of a new field, or 5 yoke of oxen, or a new bride. This too is folly. Folly to reject an invitation to a great banquet for the sake of a new field or oxen or even a new wife. After all, why not bring her along? By this parable, our Lord Jesus teaches us that it is folly, great folly indeed, to reject God's invitation to his heavenly banquet for any earthly reason, indeed for any reason at all. From the first part of our gospel lesson, in which one of those who reclined at table with him said, "Blessed is everyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of God," It's clear that Jesus is not talking about earthly festivities or bodily nourishment. Instead, Jesus is speaking about his heavenly kingdom, the kingdom in which he feeds the souls of his guests with the bread of life, to satisfy their hunger eternally, to rescue them from death, to keep them unto eternal life. And this invitation to the feast of God's kingdom goes out to all, for God desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. He sent out his word into all the world, that disciples may be made of all nations. In hearing this word, particularly here in the divine service of the church, but also in Bible study with your fellow church members, in prayer and in the reading of God's word at home, the feast of God is enjoyed now, which is itself a foretaste of the feast to come in heaven. But as in the parable, all alike on earth make excuses. They make excuses for the sake of temporal matters. They make excuses for the sake of perishable goods. They make excuses for the sake of earthly pleasures. And none of these excuses really have anything to do with sin. It's not evil. It's not forbidden by God to transact business or to acquire properties and possessions or to get married and have a family. Indeed, these are all good things, blessings of God, part of that daily bread that he bestows upon us. But to spurn what is truly needful, the kingdom of heaven, because of an attachment to these earthly blessings, is evil. It is forbidden by God. How often have you heard excuses like those offered in our parable today? How often have you offered them yourself? I have chores to do around the house. I have projects that I've been putting off for weeks. My kids have sports or music or some other activity. Sunday is our family time. We're going camping, fishing, swimming, shopping, hiking, hunting, etc. I've got a big party of my own to get ready for. This week has been crazy. I've been working nonstop, and Sunday's my only day to rest. I just don't have the time or the energy. Repent. That's a lie. You do have the time. You do have the energy. You're just choosing to devote your time and energy to those things that are passing away instead of to those things which last eternally. And that is just as foolish as Esau trading away his inheritance for a bowl of soup. Yes, repent and put everything in its proper order. There's a reason why our Lord Jesus taught us to pray, "Hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven," before he taught us to pray, "Give us this day our daily bread." Jesus would have us first seek nourishment for our souls before we seek nourishment for our bodies. Again, there's nothing wrong with improving and protecting your possessions and income. There's nothing wrong with spending time in leisure with your family or working hard or playing sports, entertaining guests, or even sleeping. But seek first the holiness of God's name. Seek first his gracious kingdom. Seek first his good and gracious will. For it is sinful and wrong to neglect these things for the sake of your bodily needs and wants. And those who do so will inevitably find themselves among the dead guests of folly, lost in the depths of Sheol. But there's another excuse that is often offered, the excuse of unworthiness. Again, you may have heard this excuse or perhaps even offered it yourself. I can't come. I can't accept this invitation. I'm a sinner. God is angry with me. He doesn't want me at his church. He'd be ashamed of me, knowing all that I've thought and said and done. I've accepted folly's invitation. I've drunk of her stolen water and eaten her bread in secret. How can someone like me now come to the great feast of God and His only begotten Son and act like I belong there? I don't. These are the thoughts of your heart. Then remember how Jesus continues the parable. The master of the house said to the servant, "Go out quickly to the streets and lanes of the city and bring in the poor and crippled and blind and lame." And the servant said, "Sir, what you have commanded has been done, and still there is room." And the master said to the servant, "Go out to the highways and hedges and compel people to come in, that my house may be filled." With these words, Jesus shows us that God truly desires all people, yes, even you, to be saved. As He said elsewhere, "I came not to call the righteous, but sinners." For those who repent and believe in Him, there is forgiveness, life, and salvation, no matter how poor, how unclean, how distant, how sinful, how miserable, how infamous, how shameful, how lonely, how condemned you may be. You see, when the law of God, with its perfect demands of righteousness, has brought you to see all that God commands of you and how far short you have fallen, when the law brings you to see the greatness of your debt and how you only deserve God's wrath and punishment, do not despair. For He has sent His servants to you with this good news. Come. For everything is now ready. Don't listen to your heart or the world or the devil himself, as they would condemn you and tell you to stay away. Listen to Jesus. Listen to His words. Listen to His gracious invitation. Come. No matter who you are, no matter what you've done, this feast is prepared by Christ for you. Wisdom calls out to the simple, not to the learned, to the one who lacks sense, not to the practical. Wisdom invites poor, miserable sinners to eat and to drink. It's even those who once entered folly's house. Even for such, it's not too late to repent and walk in the way of wisdom and sit at that feast. For this feast is none other than Jesus Christ, our Lord Himself. And that's why everything is ready. Our Heavenly Father is the master of the house who prepared this banquet by sending His Son into our flesh to suffer and die, to be nailed to the cross and offered up as the Paschal Lamb, sacrificed for the sins of the world. Just as earthly food is not kept in the oven indefinitely, but rather taken and served so that guests may eat and be nourished, our Lord Jesus Christ was taken from the cross, laid in the tomb, rose again from the dead, ascended into heaven, and sat down at the right hand of the Father, that His flesh might be true food and His blood might be true drink for us to eat and drink in faith. Wherever the gospel is proclaimed, the good news that Jesus suffered, was crucified, and died for our sins, there God is serving that feast, the feast that He Himself has prepared, the feast that is indeed ready now. Whoever receives this gospel in faith feeds on Jesus' flesh and drinks His blood. And for those who are spiritually poor and crippled and blind and lame, this gospel nourishes and strengthens the soul, tasting of forgiveness, eternal life, and everlasting salvation. Through this food, all despair is put to flight. For sin, death, and the devil can do you no harm. Through this food, you have certainty that though you die, yet shall you live. And you shall live forevermore. For Christ, who is risen from the dead, has promised, "Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day." Through this food, you are righteous. Your sin is taken away. Your guilt is atoned for by Jesus' blood shed for you. Through this food, you have pure and everlasting joy, Not like that momentary satisfaction that comes from a good meal, but rather eternal satisfaction that comes from faith in Christ and the knowledge that He has prepared for you a place at His heavenly banquet table. It is indeed a great banquet that has been prepared for us by our Heavenly Father, a feast that He prepares for the whole world. And all that is necessary to enjoy this banquet is faith. To believe in Jesus Christ, to trust in Him who was crucified and risen again for you. Through unbelief, this feast is rejected, and only folly remains. But by faith, this banquet is enjoyed, and the good news nourishes, strengthens, gives comfort, joy, life, and gladness. Because it's by faith, you cannot bring anything with you to enjoy this feast. No possessions, no honors, no works get you in. But everything has been provided for you by Jesus. And again, that's why God sends His invitation out to all, even to the foolish, even to the sinful, even to the weak, even to the captives. For Christ has become for them, yes, for you, wisdom from God, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Now again, this parable is spoken by Jesus in response to the man who reclined at table with Him, who declared, "Blessed is everyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of God." But Jesus spoke this as a corrective, because the problem with that statement is the word "will," as if the kingdom of God and the feast therein is some event down the road, yet to come, someday in the distant future. But that's not the case. The kingdom of God comes to us now, and the feast is present here. Indeed, the Master says, "Come, for everything is now ready." By faith, you have come. By faith, you've received that invitation, the invitation of wisdom to feast with God today. By faith, you have set aside that food that perishes for the food that endures to eternal life. Every time that you set aside your work or your hobbies, your meals, even your sleep, to come to church, to come to Bible study and Sunday school, to pray, and to read your Bible. By faith, you have received and clung to that eternal inheritance, that birthright that is yours as adopted children of God, sons of God through faith. And you are forgiven by God's grace alone now. Even now, wisdom's call goes out to all the world, "Come, for everything is now ready." Not all will receive this call. There are many, yes, even those who claim to be Christian, who will reject this invitation and instead turn to the way of folly. But the voice of wisdom will not be silenced. So listen. Come. Repent of your sins and eat and drink at the feast that has been prepared for you by God Himself. Come. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Come. Be rescued from death and hell. Come, for everything is now ready. Blessed are you who eat bread in the kingdom of God now. In the name of Jesus, please stand. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.